Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet. This perek describes the actual procedure of learning Torah as it transpires between the teacher, the Rav, and the students in the Beit Midrash, and details how each side should act in the process of learning. Halacha Aleph. Eim lamdin divrei Torah elo letalmid hagun, na'e b'masav o letam, aval im haya holech b'derech lo tova, machzirin oto l'mutav, umanigin oto b'derech yishara uvodkin oto, v'achar kach machnisin oto l'beit ha-midrash umelamdin oto. We're only allowed to teach Torah to a student who behaves properly, who has appropriate actions, or to someone whose behavior we don't know. But someone who we know behaves improperly, and the Aruch HaShulchan explains, like a student who is only learning for the sake of pointing out problems and inconsistencies, but isn't really interested in learning the Shema, then first we have to bring him back to proper behavior, and only then do we allow him into the Beit Midrash to learn. Amru Chachamim kol hashone l'talmid sheino hagun, ki ilu zarak even l'markulis, shnamar kitzror even b'margema, Kein noten nechsil kavod. Ven kavod ela Torah. Shnamar kavod chachamim inchalu. Chazal said that anyone who teaches an inappropriate student, it's the equivalent of throwing a rock at Markulis, which is a kind of avodah zarah, which was served in this manner by throwing rocks at it. This pasuk in Mishlei compares throwing a rock to avodah zarah to giving honor to a fool. Honor here is understood to mean Torah because of another pasuk in Mishlei that speaks about that refers to Torah as honor, kavod. V'chein harav sheino holech b'derech tova, af al pi shechacham gadol hu v'chol ha'am tzrichin lo, ein mitlamdin mimenu ad shiachzor l'mutav. Shnamar ki sivtei kohen yishmeru da'at, v'torah yivakshu mipihu, ki malach Hashem tzvakot hu. Amru chachamim, im dome harav l'malach Hashem tzvakot, Torah yivakshu mipihu. V'im lav, al yivakshu Torah mipihu. The same is true, of course, regarding the teacher. The teacher also has to be someone who behaves properly, and even if he is a tremendous scholar and people need him, we don't allow people to learn from him until and unless he returns to proper behavior. This pasuk in Malachi speaks about the siftei kohen, the lips of the kohen here refers to a scholar, a chacham, that this scholar is a repository of Torah, and you should seek his wisdom if ki malach Hashem tzvakotu, that only if he acts like an angel, as it were, if he acts properly, then we should seek Torah from him, but otherwise we should not. Halacha bet, keitzad melamdin, harav yoshev barosh, v'atamidim lefanav mukafin atara, g'dei shiyu kulan ro'in et harav, v'shom'in dvarav, v'lo yoshev harav al hakisei, v'talmidav al hakarka, elo o hakol al haaretz, o hakol al hakisaot, uverishona haye harav yoshev v'atamidim omdim, u'mikodem churban bayit sheni nahagu hakol lamed l'tamidim v'hein yoshevim. How should the Rav and the students be seated? The Rav should sit in the middle, and the students are sitting in a circle around him, so that all can see him and hear what he has to say. It should not be the case that the Rav sits on a chair and the students on the ground, but rather, either all should be on the ground or all should be on chairs. It used to be in the beginning that the Rav would sit and the students would stand, but before Bayit Sheni, the Mishnah says that when Rabbi Gamliel died, a fatigue settled on the world, and as a result, there was no longer strength to stand while learning, and both the Rav and the students would sit down. The Kesef Mishnah notes that the Rambam's psak in the beginning of this halacha, that it should not be that the Rav is sitting on a chair while the students sit on the ground, has a source in the Gemara in Brachot, based on when Hashem told Moshe at Har Sinai, Ve'ata po amod imadi, stand with me, suggesting that the teacher not be in an elevated position relative to the students. But he points out several stories from other Gemaras in which the teacher is sitting on a bench and the students sit on the ground in front of him. One of his resolutions of this contradiction, which is passed by the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch, is that the Rambam's psak applies only to more advanced students, to whom the Rav wants to show respect. But young or beginning students can be seated on the floor while the Rav sits on a chair. As an introduction to the next halacha, it was very common at the time of the Gemara for there to be someone called a maturgaman, who served as an intermediary between a teacher and a large group of students. The word literally means translator, and he often would translate the Hebrew teachings of the Rav into the vernacular Aramaic, which is more easily understood by the students. Alternatively, even if there was no language barrier, the Maturgaman could repeat the Rav's words in a louder voice, so they would be audible to a very large group. The next halacha describes how exactly the Maturgaman, called Matargim by the Rambam, is supposed to serve as an intermediary. Halacha Gimel. Im haya harav melamed mipiv latalmidim, melamed. Vim haya melamed al yedei mitargem, hamitargem omed beino uvein atalmidim, varav omer lamitargem, vamitargem mashmia lechol atalmidim. If the Rav speaks directly to the students, that's fine. But if he has a Metargame, then the Metargame stands between him and the students. The Rav speaks to the Metargame, and the Metargame repeats the Rav's words to the students. When students want to ask the Rav a question, they ask the Mitargame, he relays the question to the Rav, and the Rav responds to him, and he relays the answer to the student who asked the question. The Rav should not raise his voice higher than that of the Mitargame, and the Mitargame should not raise his voice when he speaks to the Rav higher than the voice of the Rav. This is all a matter of how the two can respect one another properly. Einim haturgaman rashai lo livchot v'lo losif v'lo loshanot, elim ken hayam haturgaman aviv shel chacham o rabo. The Mitargem is not allowed to add or take or detract anything from what the Rav said, unless the Mitargem is somehow greater than the Rav, either as his own Rebbe, or if the Mitargem is the Rebbe's father, in which case he's allowed to modify what the Rav said. Amar Rav laturgaman, kach amar li Rebbe, o kach amar li Abba Mari, kishomer haturgaman nadvarim la'am, omran b'shem ha'chacham, umazkir shmo shel avi harav o shel rabo, v'omer kach amar Rabbana Ploni. If the Rav quotes something in the name of his father or his Rebbe, so he will not mention that person's name, because it's forbidden, we'll see in the next parak, for one to refer to his Rebbe by his name or to refer to his father by his name. However, when the Turgaman, when the Mitargem repeats this to the students, he should insert at that point the father or the Rebbe's actual name. Halacha Dalet. Harav shneimed v'lo hevinu atalmidim, lo yichos alehem v'yirgaz, ela chozer v'shoneh davar afilu kama pamim, ad shevinu omek halacha. When the Rav is teaching and the students didn't understand, he should not get angry at them. He should rather repeat it, even if he has to repeat it many times until they understand it completely. V'chein lo yomar hatalmid hevanti v'hu lo hevin, ela chozer v'shoel afilu kama pamim, v'im ka'as alav rabo v'ragaz, yomar lo rabbi torahi v'lamod anitzarich v'dati k'tzara. And so too, the student should not say that he understands when he doesn't really understand, but rather he should continue asking even many times. If the Rav gets angry at him, he should say to the Rebbe, Rebbe, it's Torah, I need to learn it, and my intellectual capacity is weak, and I need to hear it again. As the Rambam will mention in the next halacha, this is based on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Perek Bet Mishnah Hei, lo habayshan lamed, velo hakabdan melamed. A student can't learn if he's too shy to say he doesn't understand, and the teacher cannot teach properly if he is too quick to get angry. Halacha hei, lo yeh ha-talmid bosh mechaverav shalamdu mipam rishona o shniya v'hu lo lamad ela achar kama pamim. Shin nipayesh midavar zeh nimtza nichnas v'yotze lebeit ha-midrash v'hu eino lamed klum. Lefichach amru chachamim ha-rishonim ein ha-baishan lamed v'lo ha-kapdan melamed. A student should not be embarrassed, even though his fellow students are picking up the material much more quickly, and he requires it to be repeated many more times. If he gets embarrassed by that kind of thing and won't speak up, then he's going into and out of the Beit Midrash and not learning anything. It's important not to be shy, to say you don't understand.
What
we just said about the Rav not getting angry, that's only when he sees that the material is very complicated and the students don't understand it because of that, or because they lack the intellectual depth. But if he sees that they don't understand just because they're being lazy and not applying themselves, then he absolutely must get angry at them and embarrass them in order to sharpen them and improve their discipline. This is what Chachamim meant when they said, throw bitterness at the students. Make them afraid to be lax.
לפיכך אין ראוי לרב לנהוג קלות ראש בפני התלמידים, ולא לשחוק בפניהם, ולא לאכול ולשתות עמהם, כדי שתהיה אמתו עליהם, וילדו ממנו במהרה.
Therefore, the Rav should not act in a frivolous manner with his students, not to laugh with them, not to eat and drink with them.
He should be instilling fear in them. They should respect him and realize they have to act very seriously when he's teaching them in order that they learn from him properly. Of course, this is something which really depends on every Rebbe and every student and the relationship that they have. And it might be that a Rebbe finds that he improves his students' learning if he has some kind of rapport with them and doesn't only act with them in a very strict manner. Halacha vav, ein sholin et harav kishikanes lebeit hamidrash ad shetityashev da'ato alav, ve'en hatalmid shoel kishikanes ad sheyeshev yanuach. Ve'en sholin shnayim ke'echad, ve'en sholin et harav me'inyan acher, ela me'oto ha'inyan she'en oskin bo kedei shelo yibayesh. Starting at this point in the parak, the Rambam discusses the correct procedure for asking questions. So first of all, the student shouldn't ask the Rav a question until the Rav comes in and sits down and has rested for a moment. And so too, the student himself shouldn't ask a question until he comes in and sits down and rests for a moment. Two people shouldn't ask at the same time, and it's important not to ask the Rav a question from a different area of halacha. This could prove to be something of an embarrassment. The Rav is not to be expected to have all of Torah at his fingertips at any point. The student should only ask the Rav a question from the material that they are learning. The Rav has the right and should be asking the students tricky questions, trying to trick them to see if they understand properly and to sharpen them, to check if they remember what he taught them before or if they have forgotten it already. And even though the student shouldn't ask the Rav questions from other areas of halacha, he has the right to ask them questions from other areas of halacha in order to make them more diligent in learning and for them to understand that there are other areas of halacha that they also have to learn. Halacha zayin, ein sholin me'omed, ve'en mishivin me'omed, v'lo mi'gavoa, v'lo mi'rachok, v'lo me'achorei zekenim, ve'en sholin harav ela ba'inyan, ve'en sholin ela mi'irah, v'lo yish'al b'inyan yater mishalosh halachot. One should not ask a question standing up, rather sitting down. The Rav shouldn't answer a question standing up. The idea in both cases is that when sitting down, one is free of distraction, and both the question and answer will come out better. And the question shouldn't be asked from a far distance, from high up or from a far distance away, or from behind other people. In all these cases, if the questioner finds himself far away from the Rav, he should move closer to the Rav in front of the other students who are right in front of him in order to ask his question. The Rambam repeats that a student should only ask the Rav a question from the topic they are learning. He should ask the question with a sense of awe and trepidation, and he shouldn't ask more than three questions in any topic, presumably so that the Rav can move on and to give an opportunity for other students to ask their questions. The Rambam already said in Halacha Vav that the student may only ask a Rav a question related to the topic they're learning together. Why does he repeat here, Ein Sholin Harav Ela Ba'inyan? The Kesef Mishnah explains that even within one broad topic, for example, Hilchot Shabbat, the student should only ask a question on the specific area they are studying. So if they are learning laws of Bishul, of cooking on Shabbat, he shouldn't ask a question relating to setting up an Eruv, for example. Halacha Chet. In the next Halacha, the Rambam discusses a hierarchy of different kinds of questions, and when two kinds of questions are asked, which one the Rav should give precedence to. Shnaim Shishalu. Sha'al Echad Ba'inyan, Sha'al Echad Shlo Ba'inyan, Nizkakin La'inyan. If two people ask, one related to the topic they're studying and one not, the second one in violation, of course, of the last halachos that we learned, then the Rav should answer the first question. Ma'aseh v'sheino ma'aseh, nizkakin le'ma'aseh. If one question is relevant for practical purposes, halacha le'ma'aseh, and the other one isn't, it's more of a theoretical question, the Rav should first answer the one which is relevant practically. Halacha u'midrash, nizkakin le'halacha. The terms halacha and midrash here don't mean what we usually mean when we use these terms. Halacha refers to a law learned through an oral tradition, halacha moshe Sinai. Midrash refers to a law learned based on an inference or some other conclusion drawn from a pasuk in the Torah. So the Rambam says that the Rav should answer first the question in halacha. The halacha takes precedence over midrash because halacha relies completely on oral tradition. So it is vital to preserve that tradition, as opposed to midrash, which is based on a pasuk, that can be easier to remember even if the Rav doesn't answer the question immediately. Midrash v'hagadah nizkakin le-midrash. If one question has to do with a drasha from a pasuk, but relates to practical halacha, And the other question is in Haggadah, what we call Agadata or Musar, learned from Sukkim or from stories. Then we go with the Drasha question first, that is the one relevant to Halacha. Haggadah Kal V'chomer, Nizkakin Le Kal V'chomer, Kal V'chomer Gzera Shava, Nizkakin Le Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer and Gzera Shava are two tools of Torah Shebaal Peh. They are the first two of the Yud Gimel Midot of Rabbi Shmuel that we say every morning in the beginning of davening, through which Halacha can be learned. Kal V'chomer is a way in which Halacha is inferred logically in one context from its appearance in another context. Gzera Shava is a method in which a Halacha is learned from one context to another based on a common word appearing in a pasuk in each context. The Rambam says here that if the choice is between Agadata and learning something through a Kal V'chomer, if those are the two questions relate to those two topics, then you should go to the Kal V'chomer first, presumably because learning details of Halacha it takes precedence over Divrei Musar and Agadata. If it's Kal V'chomer and Gzera Shava, then we go to the Kal V'chomer first. This too seems to be similar to the case of Halacha and Drasha. We give precedence to Kal V'chomer over Gzera Shava because the first Kal V'chomer is not rooted in Psukim, while the Gzera Shava is, and therefore the Kal V'chomer is easier to forget compared to the second. It should be noted that some have a different gears than the Rambam, in which, in the second to last part, Haggadah v'Kal V'chomer, the girsa is Nizkakin l'Haggadah, meaning that Musar takes precedence over applications of Yud Gimel Midot. This fits better into the general structure of the list, because in this list, every new item that is brought up is of lower precedence than the one before. Halacha and Midrash, Halacha takes precedence. Midrash and Haggadah, Midrash takes precedence. Each new one has a lower precedence. So following that pattern, when we get to Haggadah and Kal V'chomer should have a lower precedence, and therefore it should say Nizkakin l'Haggadah. Again, that's the Girsa in some printings and old manuscripts, but in the printings of the Rambam available today, the Girsa is, as we have it, Nizkakin l'Kal V'chomer. Hayu ha-sho'olim echad chacham echad tamid, Nizkakin l'chacham. Tamid v'am ha'aretz, Nizkakin l'tamid. Shnehem chachamim, shnehem talmidim, שניהם עמי הארץ, שאלו שניהם בשתי הלכות או בשתי שאלות, שתי תשובות, שתי מעשים, הרשות ביד התורגמן מעטה. Now we get to how to take precedence between two different questioners. If one is already a scholar and the other is just a Talmid, meaning at a lower level, still learning, still in the early stages of his learning, then we give precedence to the Chacham. If one is a Talmid and the other is an Am Haaretz who hasn't learned anything at all, then we answer the question of the Talmid first. If both are Chachamim or both are Talmidim, both are Am Haaretz, then the Turgaman can decide which one to choose. Similarly, if the two questions carry equal weight, if both relate to halacha l'maaseh, if both are questions of halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, if both are tshuvot, shtei tshuvot means here that two students both wish to respond to a chiddush said by the Rav with some critique or difficulty, then the Turgaman decides which one to address first.
Halacha tet. Ein yishanim bebeit ha-midrash, v'chol ha-mitnamneim bebeit ha-midrash, chochmato na'aseit kraim kraim. Nechein amar sholav chochmato, ukraim tal Numa. One is not allowed to sleep in Beit Midrash. Anyone who sleeps, even just dozes off, mitnamneim in Beit Midrash, his wisdom is torn up. And that's what Shlomo means, the Pasuk in Mishlei. Literally, it means that one who sleeps excessively will be dressed in tattered clothing because he won't be able to work properly because of his bad habits and won't be able to afford proper clothing.
But the drasha is that someone who sleeps, his wisdom will be torn up. The Shach on the Shulchan Aruch rules that Sheinat Arai, sleeping in a temporary manner, like putting one's head down for a few minutes, is in fact permitted in a Beit Midrash. Ve'ein misichin beveit ha-midrash ela bedivrei Torah bilvad. Afilu mishnita teish, ein omrim lo refua beveit ha-midrash. Ve'ein tzrich lamar sh'ar advarim, ukdushat beveit ha-midrash chamura mikdushat batei knesiot. We do not talk in Beit Midrash anything except Divrei Torah. Even if someone sneezes, we don't say to him, bless you, or gesundheit. The Beit Midrash has a higher kedusha than Beit HaKnesset, and what we'll see later in Hilchot Tefillah, what this means is that Beit Midrash cannot be converted into a Beit Knesset, to a shul. Since the Beit Midrash has higher sanctity, you can only convert an object from a use of lower kedusha to a use of higher kedusha.
So a shul can be converted into a Beit Midrash, but not the other way around. The reason why Beit Midrash has higher kedusha is because in Beit Midrash, people are always learning, whereas in a shul, people daven, but only a couple of hours during the day, and otherwise it's empty.
On this matter of responding when someone sneezes, the Aruch HaShulchan and others rule that nowadays we aren't quite as makvid about what we say in Beit Midrash. So even though we are careful not to speak about matters unrelated to Torah, one is permitted to say Gesundheit or God bless you after someone sneezes.
In the next parak, we'll get into the very important topic of the details and nature of respect that a student has to show towards his Rav.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.